Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the Roundtable, Mothers and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie. Just glad to be here this morning, I tell you. I am doing sort of like a double dutch kind of a thing, making it happen, you know. If it doesn't go right, you just do keep doing to and call on the Holy Spirit to make it happen. So you may hear me in the car moving around. It's because I am en route someplace so that I can make this radio show happen. I am in a place this weekend that has very little connections, so make it difficult for me to do what I need to do. So I decided, well, what I'll do, I'll get in my car and I'll just drive up to the open space because I'm in a wooded area and it's a lot of trees. Some of them are 100 feet tall. And with that being said, I'm okay, so there's got to be another way to do this. And I found out how I could do it. Leave the trees. But anyway, good morning, good morning, good morning. I can't get to the switchboard right now, so I'm going to keep talking, and then I'll bring my co-host on, Cynthia Oliver. I'm pretty sure she's on this morning. And see who else is on when I can get to the switchboard. But in the meantime, we're just going to thank God for a beautiful day to serve Him and just thinking about what a difference a week will make in your life. You know, when we trust God and when we depend on God and just wait on Him and see just what a difference a week will make in your life. And I say that because, and I'm sure Cynthia will be able to collaborate on that when she comes on and to share the goodness of God in her life and the life of her family. And we all just have been so blessed this week, just absolutely blessed. Give me a second here, and I can get to the switchboard. I hope everything is going good for you guys. I hope you had a good week. We had such a wonderful show last week. It was awesome. A lot of comments about the show and how they enjoyed it. It was just absolutely wonderful. I think I've got this now. Let's see here. Just got to keep doing it. I'm like, okay, there's more than one way to skin a cat. My mother always told me that. More than one way. But there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ. Remember that. All righty, let's see if I can get Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, the thing is, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, darling.
Yeah, I was in there.
I can hear you just fine.
You know, I'm walking through the house and I've seen one bar and then there's no service. And I said, devil, you're a liar this morning. Now, you're not going to do this now. I've never had any problems. A couple of days I've been there, no problems at all. And then now all of a sudden this morning, I'm getting on the radio, no service. So I'm walking through. I said, who does this anymore? You know, walking through looking at the bars. So I said, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll just go ahead and get in the car, drive up to the shopping center, park in the parking lot, because we're going to do this radio program this morning. So I tell them, oh, well, you can just cancel it for the day. Are you serious? I would not. I will not. But anyway, I'm house sitting for my grand dog this week while the kids are on vacation, so I have to do what I have to do. Yeah, yeah. So how are you? You said you're doing good this morning?
Well, it's interesting. I'm good. A little tired. Up and down all night. That Mr. Oliver came home from the hospital. For audience who don't know, my husband had open heart surgery this past week. Out of the blue, Dr. Fletcher, I'm hold on for 1 second, Dr. Fletcher. The nurse is at the door. So, if you audience, I'm gonna let Dr. Fletcher talk for a moment.
All right, audience. Well, I'll just tell you, that's why I said what a difference a week can make in your life. 1 week can make all the difference. Even 1 second can make the difference. But what Cynthia and her husband went through for the last week, it was just, you know, quick, and it was shocking. It was unbelievable. Both of them in the hospital. She's there taking care of him, take some medication, get a reaction to the medicine, and it just, threw her into a state of having to be in the emergency room as well. So trying to take care of her husband. And then from just being in the hospital, I had to have open-heart surgery. And so with open-heart surgery, that was last Friday, and he stayed in the hospital, and now he's home. He came home yesterday, a week later. So what a blessing. That's why we say, you know, thank God, you know. God is just awesome. You know, thank God for his blessings. Thank him for, you know, just looking after us. And we never know where his grace and his mercies are going to land. He has the will for that. He can give it to whoever he wants. That's what he said. So we just thank him for giving grace and mercy to Cynthia and her husband this week. And to everybody else, all the listeners, that you've gone through some things and you know what they are. And you just want to just thank God this morning. We just want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for all
thank you,
that
Father
you've
God.
Done for us.
Absolutely. And
thank
what
you
a mercy
for
God we have. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just telling them about how what a difference a week can make. 1 week, last Friday in the hospital with open heart surgery, this Friday coming home, and God gave him grace and mercy. And I said, you know, God decide who he's going to give grace and mercy to. And he chose Al and you when you were in the hospital. So, you know, and I look at things that he's done for me, just grace and mercy this week. So everybody out there, if you could just stop and think just for a moment, you will find something in your life that you could say, wow, he extended grace and mercy to me too, because he did. You're still here. You're still breathing. Grace and mercy will have applied in your life somewhere. You got something you want to add, Cynthia?
Well, I just, like you said, I just have to say thank you, God. Guys, please just pay attention to your health. It may sound like one thing, and it ends up being something total major. Pay attention to your health. Seek God. I'm telling you, I just followed instructions this for the last several weeks. I've just been listening to God and following instructions, and when I found out what we were dealing with, in Scripture, it tells us to call upon the elders of the church to pray for your loved ones. And I did just that. I dare not try to take this on myself. And so that's all I have to say. Just learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow instructions, because the turnout may not have been what it is if I had not followed the instructions.
Yeah, it would have, it could have been a whole different thing. I tell people, you got to be able to, he gives the Bible, see, that's why he said read, Cynthia. You have to read, because if you don't read, you won't know.
Uh-huh.
And you can depend on somebody else to tell you, because if they're not reading, they won't know. But sometimes we go to church and we depend on the pastor to read and tell us. But even at that, you can get some revelation from what the pastor's saying, but you can get more revelation from what you read and what God tells you directly, because it applies directly to you. So,
and that's why he tells us to study to show ourselves approved. Yeah, the pastor is a valuable. Don't get that twisted, audience. We're not saying don't trust your pastor, because he said that we can believe in the prophet and all that. But he tells us directly in his word to study to show yourself approved, because you can't hear the voice of God if you don't know his voice. And his voice is in his word.
And you won't know if the pastor's telling you the truth if you don't read.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's why
we
have to study for ourselves, so we'll know if people are
giving
us crazy.
Right, because man is man, and we're subject to error. We may change one word and make it the way we want it to come across, and that changes the whole context of what God is saying. But if you know because it enhances your growth when you hear someone give their revelation from the word, and you've already got revelation from the word, then it's just going to enhance you. And that's what spiritual growth is all about. That's why he said, even as your soul prosper, meaning your mind. Your mind will increase in knowledge and wisdom. So that's where we are this morning. Now, I'm going to get back here, and we did all of that and didn't get to the prayer. Would you like to do the prayer this morning?
Absolutely, absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, God, for all that we've seen and all that we've experienced this past couple of weeks, Father God. It's so many awesome things that we can thank you for within this past 2 weeks. But we going to thank you right now, Father God, just for the moment and being able to have this radio show. Thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning and putting it on our hearts to do thy will. Father God, we thank you for our listening audience. We thank you for our fearless leader and Dr. Betsy Fletcher and Deborah and myself and Frida and all of those who have taken part in this radio show over the years. We thank you, Father God, for every testimony that has been shared over the airways and the years we've been doing this radio show, because you said that we overcome by our testimonies in the blood of Christ. So we thank you, Father God, that you are worthy to be praised, that your word is worthy to be shared, for it is in your word that we are able to do this thing called life and do it with though there will be suffering and as Christ suffered, but we are able to withstand if we know thy word and we stay in thy word, because it is what keeps us, Father God, from losing our minds and when life happens, because if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. And so when we're not doing what you've told us to do, then we're ill-prepared when you allow life to happen. I thank you for your holy presence, Father God, this morning. I thank you, Father God, for giving me the breath to be able to share with you, with the audience on this radio show. You're so awesome and so mighty that nothing, Father God, absolutely nothing can stop those who's determined to trust you and believe in you. And I just trust you so much, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you've put together myself, Dr. Fletcher, Deborah, all believers, Father God, who know Frida, Father God, who know your word and who's determined to stand. And because we're able to stand, we're able to trust you in all that you allow in this thing called life. I just thank you, Father God, and thank you for what will come across for the listening audience. We pray that something will be said, Father God, that the audience will walk away with warning to seek thy word. Not about us, but about you and about what you have for your people. And with that, I say amen.
Amen. And amen. All right. Thank you very much, Cynthia. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about our topic, and then I'm going to come back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'll be right back. Okay, audience, thanks, Cynthia, for that wonderful prayer. You know, it's just so easy to say thank you to God. It is so easy if you just stop and think for a moment, say just 2 days ago and today, whatever was happening 2 days ago, believe it or not, if you still feel that you're in the midst of it, that means what? You 2 days in, you 2 days away, closer to the end results. Just have faith. Don't faint. Just keep going. I know that sounds easy. And sometimes, you know, we know it's not easy. It's not easy because that's how you have to trust God, because it's not easy. You want to give up. You want to say God forgot about you. You want to just throw your hands up in the air and just say, you know what, this is not working. I had a couple people this week contact me about suicide. One young lady, she said, I just don't know what to do. My daughter just, she keeps talking about suicide. It's just like people, you're thinking this is the easy way out. It's not. That's just something that the enemy's trying to scare you with. He's trying to make you think, oh, don't worry about it. You can, you know, just go on and check on out. Just check on out because, you know, it ain't going to get no better. You know, you might as well go on and leave. But the minute you leave might have been just 30 seconds later, could have been the point of change. That mothers, when you're out there talking to your daughters and your sons, whoever, your children, just say to them, no matter what it is, there's a way out. There's another move. And his name is Jesus. Don't give up on life because you think that something is happening at this moment. And see, when you have a couple celebrities that commit suicide and they just show it over and over again and talk about how great they are and you know, it really promotes the psychic of a young child to think, well, I'll be famous. They'll talk about me on television. You know, they'll talk about me on internet and on Facebook and Instagram and whatever grams. You know, they're just going to know, and I'm going to shock them all because, see, they'll know that, you know, they are talking about me and they'll say good things about me. Not necessarily they're going to say good things about you because you commit suicide. They may say you're crazy, really. I mean, come on. So thinking about it, you know, I'm looking at this mother, and it's like she wants me to fix it. I can't fix it. I can't fix it except we go to God and pray. Another person, daughter, tried to commit suicide. God gave me a word, and I called, and I said, God gave me a word. I'll call you back. I ain't heard back from him. And I said to myself, wow, that could have been the word that could have made the difference in what they're going through. So when you ask somebody to pray and they come back and tell you God told them something to tell you, at least receive the word. Because if you don't receive the word, then what good is asking somebody to pray? Because like I said to and another friend of mine who is, it seems like, making this transition back home, and I'm saying to him, I'm praying, and he's saying, you know, can you find me a professional healer? He might can find me a professional healer. And I'm thinking, professional healer? There ain't but one professional healer, and that's Jesus. And I just took you to him. I don't know where else to take you. And so I'm thinking, I got to say something. And my Holy Spirit said, tell him. No one can do this for him but him. I said, you need to go to God. You need to repent. Ask God to forgive you. You need to, and even if you want to, ask him to give you another chance. But when you say that, you got to tell him why you want another chance. I want another chance to serve you, not another chance to continue doing life as usual. But see, you can't just say that and think God's going to believe it because he knows your heart. And so whatever the intent of your heart, no matter what words come out of your mouth, the intent of your heart tells your truth. It tells who you really are. We say a lot of things, but what are we really feeling in our heart? Only God knows that. Sometimes you don't even know the extent of what you're feeling, and you think you're really just kind of getting over on God a little bit. You know, well, I'm going to promise him. And at the time, sometimes you think it. You really mean it. You really mean it. But then we forget when it gets better. We forget when we get our health back in order. We forget when we're getting back in the car and driving. We forget when we can go around and talk and laugh and see people. And, you know, yeah, you may go to church. You may go to church and say, well, I'm at church. Okay, you at church. But we forget that we made a promise to God. And that promise is to serve him. He gave you grace and mercy for a purpose. I'm going to give you another chance, Bessie. I want to see if you're going to fulfill what I sent you there to on earth to do. God has asked me to do. Then what good am I here on earth? I'm not serving him. So what's the good? If you're not serving God, you're serving Satan. And Satan will always make things look really good when you out of order. Because he wants you to feel good. He wants you to seem like everything's coming up roses. He wants you to feel like, you know, God has left you, that you don't matter to him. So, mothers, I am saying this morning. Whoever is out here listening, I don't care if you're listening today, later on today, right now, later on today, tonight, tomorrow, next year, or the next year, whenever you hear this tape, make sure that you tell some mother, I share this with some young person, that suicide is not the answer. Suicide is not the answer. This was not my message for today, according to what me and the Lord talk about this morning. But the Holy Spirit is talking about this. Obviously, somebody that's on this line needs to hear it. Suicide is not the answer. And you can't play with, I don't know what to do with my child. You've got to find some counseling. You've got to find good counseling, I mean Christian counseling. Go to your pastor, get, like Cynthia say, call the elders. See, when you're looking at mental health, people don't really put mental health on the same scale with physical health. See, when physical health, cancer or some disease that will, heart attacks or, you know, that will cause you to die, you know, the ones that we know, everybody gets excited about it and just get, you know, all torn up about it. But mental health is actually worse than that, because before the body even starts showing up the disease, then the mind has already been tormented. Mental health is just as important as physical health, if not more, because where the mind goes, the behind will follow. Your body follows the mind. The body doesn't have any sense. The body doesn't have anything except for the ability to follow instructions. So if you don't take care of your children's mental health, then you're going to see the reaction in the physical. You're going to see depression. You're going to see cutting. You're going to see the reaction of cursing and lashing out at you and anger, and then they want to say it's schizophrenia, and they want to say it's depression, and then they want to call it bipolar. They're going to name it according to behavior. They're going to name it. They got to call it something. But is that what it is? See, I remember one time I was speaking at a convention, and it was a convention of psychologists, and so I was the keynote speaker, and I'm talking to a bunch of psychologists in there, and before I even got there and I was preparing to speak, the Lord spoke to me and said, I never said anything about mental health in the Bible. And it really just kind of shook my spirit, because I'm a psychologist. I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. And I'm thinking, what? He said, I never said that in the Bible. Just like that. And I'm thinking, no, I've never heard, I've never seen it. You know, I'm constantly reading and studying the Bible, because I really don't know enough to say I've done enough. So you're just constantly reading it over and over and over again, and you get revelation over and over again, but I never heard that. And he said, the closest thing that you can get to anything that resembles what they call mental health is the young man that had the disease that, you know, he was cutting himself and running in and out, they breaking the chains, and, you know, I think it was in Mark 5. And I said, wow. And I went, look, then I had to, he said, now you tell them that. I'm like, I got to get up, Lord, in front of a group of people who are psychologists who believe this in their heart and soul and say something like that. Oh, my, I was like, Lord, yep, tell them. And at the time, I had the scripture, and I went ahead this morning. I think it was Mark 5 something, but anyway, Cynthia will probably look it up. But it was devastating to me to have to go in and say something like that to a group of professionals in their field. And so, but I wrote it down, and when I got there, and I was talking in general, and then I had to say it. And when I said it, they looked at me like I was crazy. They looked at me like, what? There's no such thing as mental health in the Bible. I mean, of course, I never got invited back. And rightfully so, I guess, because it's like, who is she and what does she think she's talking about? Probably some people say, well, I told you not to invite her anyway. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just talking off the cuff on that now. But, you know, I had to obey God. And whether I get invited back, it doesn't matter. I didn't care because I had to choose. I had to make a choice. And sometimes when you're trusting and believing God, oh, it's not going to be the easy choice. It's not going to be the feely, fluffy, feel messages and delivery of what God wants you to deliver. It's going to be something that's going to shock people into existence. It's going to shock them. And when they shock, they're either going to research it, go to God, or they're going to dismiss it and say the messenger is crazy. So I'm saying this to all of you mothers out there. Examine your children. Even if they're not even exemplifying anything that resembles wanting to commit suicide, have the conversation. Teenagers are so vulnerable. They want to be accepted. And sometimes they are accepted into groups that are above their age. And when it's of age, they automatically find themselves in a position that they're trying to be something, but they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the mental capacity because they have not lived those 5 years that's difference between them and the people that they're trying to hang around. There's a lot of experience going on in there, and God designed it that way so that you would go from second to second, from the second you were born, and you're building and building and building to a minute, and then from a minute to a half an hour, and then from a half an hour to an hour, and from an hour to a day, and then from a day into a week, and a week into a month, and a month into a year. It just doesn't come all in one. When a baby's born, it's not 70 years old. It comes over process, and you have to let your children know, especially when they feel that, when you have an only child, or if you have a child that you feel is in the middle. Sometimes if they feel, if you can tell when a child feels like they're neglected in the family, if they feel neglected in the family, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to start seeking out and trying to find somebody who will accept them, who will show them love. We have got to pay more attention to our children. We have got to do that. It's too many suicides, too many attempts, and saying, I don't want to live, I don't have nothing to live for. You haven't been here long enough to know that. Especially when it's a young man or a young lady, and you think that this person is the person for you when there's millions and millions of other young men and young ladies out there. You haven't even touched the surface with that. Talk about that one person. There's millions out there. So you have to show your children that this is just an experience getting ready just to show you how to socialize with people. This is not the person that is your life mate. Sometimes it is, but then you cannot make that decision at 12. You can't make that decision at 15. because there's probably a whole lot more life in you. And if you decide, well, I can't live in him longer. If he doesn't want me, I can't live in him longer. My life is not worth it. You know, how do we change that conversation, that intro conversation in our children's head? We as mothers got to sit down, look in their eyes and hold their hands and get into those conversations. You will know when you look in their eyes. You will know when you hold their hands. You had her. You know your child. Don't act like you don't know. You know when they start turning and acting different. You know when they don't want to be bothered. You know when they go in the room and shut the door. That means something. Something happened. Find out what it is. Don't just say, well, I don't know what's wrong with her. All of a sudden, she's just not talking to me. Go in the room all the time, and she's on that computer. Take the computer. Take the phone and get to the bottom of the problem. Otherwise, it's going to fester, and then when it does, it's going to be out of control. She won't really remember what happened, and you can't get to what happened because she can't remember what happened because she didn't address it when it happened. I hope you got that. You can't wait for something 2 or 3 months later when you recognize something today. You can't just put it off because the minute you put it off, something is going to come. Satan's going to bring someone to address that issue. So we are off on a different tangent this morning. That is not what we talked about, but that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to talk about, because our stimulating topic this morning was mothers and daughters, when praises, those blessings come down. And I guess you can just tie that right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said that you can tie that right back in to this message. Because when you don't know, when you praise God, and you just thank him anyway. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to praise your name, and I'm going to thank you because I know you got it. She's my child, and I am a child of God. I have you within me. I'm within you, and your word is within me. And you said anything that I asked for, that it would be granted to me. That's John 15:7. So if you know you in God and you know you're a mother and you're doing all that you can, and he said, I bless you and I bless your children and your children's children, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. But if you know you're not in good standards with God, mother, you need to get it right because you are the one. He said, he didn't say, I bless your children and I bless you. He said, I bless you and your children's children. So in order for the blessings to flow in your family, parents, you have to be the blessing. You have to be the one that he bestows the blessing upon, and then it overflows to your children. That's why with my grandchildren, I don't even worry about them. I just go right there. When something goes on and looking crazy, I said, okay, I just go to God. So God, now I'm in good standards with you to the best of my ability. And you said you will bless me, my children, and my children's children. And I believe that. And I call the name and say, this is what's going on. You see it, and I know they're blessed. Cover them. My grandson last Sunday came along, hit the curb of how you turning into a, off one road onto the other, and turn short and hit the curb. Hit the curb, went over 3 lanes of highway, the field, hit a tree, knocked it down, went through a fence, up in on a hill, and got out and walked away without a scratch. Car towed up like you wouldn't believe. And I walked and I cried and I prayed and I thanked God. I said, God, it was nothing but your grace and mercy. Not even, I said, well, take him to the hospital. He was like, I'm fine. And I told my daughter, she said, I told him, did you thank God? He said, yes. She said, no. Did you really thank? He said, yeah, I thank God. She said, do you know that was a miracle? Do you know that was a miracle? That was a miracle. And I wanted him to know. God didn't have to extend you that grace and mercy. young lady did the same thing a few days earlier and got and was killed with the same type of accident. So I think when he hit it, he probably was trying to hit the brakes, and the officer say he hit the gas. You know, that's what usually do. People sometimes hit the gas, and it just airplane and went straight up in the air and just let, I can't even imagine it. When I saw the pictures, I just walked and said, thank you, God. I mean, just crying, thank you, God. Because we wasn't at the hospital, and we wasn't at the morgue. Thank you, God. Grace and mercy. With this world today, mothers and daughters, I'm telling you, we have got to get ourselves together as mothers. We have got to praise God. We have got to thank God in order for his grace and mercy to come upon us. The praises and the thanks are like the blood that he told the lady. He told them all, put the blood over your door. Kill the lamb, kill it, put the blood over your door. So when death come by, death will pass you by. He cannot stop at your place. Well, that's the same thing. That's the way I look at it. If you are not in order and you're not praising and thanking God and you don't put yourself in a position, then death can stop at your door. We have to do all that we can do and in hope that he will grant us grace and mercy. No one can guarantee anything. Nothing you can do to make sure that, oh, if I do this exactly, that's going to happen. But just follow his instructions. He says when praises go up, blessings come down. So, hey, what a blessing. Praise. He can't lie. Praises go up, blessings come down. So keep praising. And this week, we got a blessing. You know, two blessings within 2 weeks. And I'm just going to keep praising. And I'm just going to follow those instructions. And I'm just going to see what happens. I don't have anything to lose. I want to see what happened. I want to see what God has for me here on this earth. And in order to do that, I've got to follow instructions. So pay attention to your children. Look at the sign. Pray over them. God for them. Thank him for everything he's done for you this week. Every day, just thank him. He says, I'm a jealous God. If you're going to go around and enjoy everything else that's in the world, your house, your car, your clothes, your friends, your food, those are tangible things. God wants you to enjoy the spirit. Why can't you just spend some time with God? I ain't going to say no 15 or 20 minutes. That's nothing. Spend some time with God. You can sit down and watch a movie for 2 hours. Why can't you sit down and spend some time with God? Why can't you give God a 2-hour movie time? If you could go on a date with somebody and sit down and have dinner and enjoy their company until from 12, 14 hours, why can't you have a date with God and enjoy his company 12 or 14 hours? That's what he's talking about, a jealous God. How dare you treat somebody else better than you treat me? And I created you. I blew the breath in you. I planted my spirit inside of you that's longing to live and to lead and guide you. I gave up my son for you. Or you would have had a different experience here on this earth. How dare you spend more time with other people, your girlfriend shopping, going on vacation? How dare you do all of that and forget about me? And you think about it. Put yourself in that place. If you've done all of that for somebody, you would probably think the same thing. I've done all of that. And she don't even spend time with me, don't call me, unless she needs something. When she needs something, she can call me. But when she don't need anything, she's off running and having fun with her other friends. But because I have resources, when things happen, she come to me because she know I have resources. That's the same with God. God has resources. Something happened, you go running, wanting him to do. And because he's a loving God, he'll come right back and he'll give you grace and mercy. He'll give you another chance. He just said, you know what? I'm going to love on you, whether you love on me or not. But then it may come a day when he says, you know what? I'm not going to give you grace and mercy this time. I'm going to let you experience something. So you, when you come to me this time, you will have no doubt. You will have no doubt. You will have a desire to have a relationship with me. So, mothers and daughters, when praises goes up, lessons come down. Oh, let's go back in here. See if I can get Cynthia here. Good morning, Cynthia. Of course, I'm going to keep going because for the newcomers that are coming on, I was having some difficulty this morning, so I had to kind of come outside to try to get a signal to make sure that I could do what we needed to have done. So I'm trying to get Cynthia back on. I'll be with you, Cynthia, in a minute. So anyway, what I'm saying to you guys out here is that we have got to actually, it hurts me when I get these calls and when someone's telling me and I can't really, what can I do? You know, what can I do? Because I'm like, okay, God, what can I do? Tell me what to say. Tell me what to say that'll help this mother feel better with her baby going through the way that her baby's going through. What can I say? And I'm trying another way to get to Cynthia here. The devil's not going to win. This is an important message. It really is an important message, and I apologize for the breakup of it. But it is it's a message to get you to pay attention, because God is saying, mothers, we're dropping the ball. I know people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. We're dropping the ball before the children. And there's no excuse for it. When we stand before God, there ain't no excuse saying why we didn't do all that we supposed to do. I was teaching a class yesterday, and we were talking about the virtuous woman. You know, how do you become a virtuous woman? You know, how do you become a virtuous woman? Just simply by following the instructions. Follow the instructions. The instructions are very clear. Tells you exactly what to do. One young lady said to me, she said, well, you know, today, Dr. Fletcher, women don't want to do that. They don't want to obey and commit and said, you know, that's not what we do today. Oh, really now? Really? But is that what God said? Yeah, but, you know, they don't do that today. You know, okay. But God hasn't changed. He's the same person. His word doesn't change. And just because you feel that you don't want to do it or you want to follow the trend, that doesn't mean God has changed his mind. I'm trying to get to you, Cynthia, I tell you. Got some stuff going on here. I hate it when this happens. I take that word back. But let me see what else we can do. We got a lot going on. You make it happen. Because I know Cynthia's got something interesting to say. And we need to hear it, audience. We definitely need to hear it. So we'll just do what we do and keep it moving. I was thinking that you were on, Cynthia. But anyway, I don't want to just break it up. Audience, I truly, truly apologize. I'm using two computers here trying to make it happen so that we could get Cynthia on the line and get her comments and her feedback. But in the meantime, I must keep the radio show going. I must keep talking about what is what God has placed on my heart, because when you're talking about when praises goes up, blessings come down, then that in itself it speaks volume. We have to keep praising. We have to keep talking to God. We have to make it happen, because if we don't, we're going to lose what God has given us. He's blessed us with tremendous amount of blessings. But because we're not doing what we're supposed to do, then we're not privy to it. And I'm not sure if Cynthia can hear me or if the audience can hear me. I'm not sure if I'm still on. Cynthia, can you text me, please, and let me know if I'm still on? Well, I'm not sure if I'm on, audience, so I am going to, let's see. I need a text to see if I'm on. I haven't gotten a text, so I may not be on. And I apologize if I am on and you all cannot hear me or if it's not coming across like it should. So we might be off the air. So I'm going to end this right now. Okay, Cynthia says she can hear me, so we're still on. Thank God for that. Cynthia, I'm trying to get you on so that I can hear your comments. I hate to sound all choppy today, but today is a day of challenge, and it doesn't matter because we're going to keep going, and I was not going to let the devil just stop me. He wanted to stop this radio show this morning. He didn't want me to tell that story. I had no idea God was going to speak about suicide this morning. I had no idea. But suicide is the key, obviously, because I'm getting too many calls about young people wanting to commit suicide. It's just, God wants you to pay attention. He wants you to look at your children, examine them, find out what's going on. And you can't get to what you need to get to without praising God and asking for help. God help me. That's all I can say is God help me, because, you know, this is, y'all out there pray, because he's trying to attack me each week on this radio program this morning. He's trying to attack me. I need y'all to pray and let the prayers go up so the blessings can come down. This is a challenge, and he's trying to challenge me, but I'm not going anywhere. We're still going to talk about this, because he's not going to steal the children. He's not going to do it. It's so easy for him to confuse young people. Confuse young people. So, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this radio program working perfectly and in order. In Jesus' name. See, there you go. And it popped right in. Look at God. Look at God. I said that, and it popped right in. Look at God. Thank you, Lord. Praises go up. Blessings come down. Oh, my God, I tell you. This is awesome, you guys. Good morning, Cynthia.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you, God just showed right then. As long as I said, in the name of Jesus, it popped right in.
Amen.
Please say something.
Yes, ma'am. It just goes way beyond our children. It is all about, I mean, all of us are God's children. Hey, these two people that you have been referring to, they were in their 50s, and maybe the gentleman was even older than his 60s or whatever. But Dr. Fletcher, it is a spiritual war, and you mentioned Mark 5, and that whole thing is about demon possessed, a man who was demon possessed, and so when we But it's all about the sovereignty of God, too. We don't want to talk about the sovereignty of God when God allows things to happen. Are you going to still praise him if he doesn't answer your prayer?
Yeah.
Because God's plan is in God's plan was in plan before we were even thought about coming here on this earth. And so I always say, when life has happening, when my son was diagnosed with cancer in 2014, and now my husband open heart surgery, I will never say what God is going to do. I can only hope that he was going to spare their lives, because my audience, you've heard the story. I had a cousin. I have a cousin. Her son was diagnosed 17 months prior to my, about 17 months with cancer prior to my son being diagnosed. They were buds. Her and I are buds. She's a believer. I'm a believer. She was a prayer. She prayed that God will heal her son. God allowed her son to transition. He was 17 months older than my son. Keith was 27 at the time when he had the transplant. 26 when he had the transplant. Her baby boy, no, he was 27, because her baby boy was 25, and God allowed him to perish. She's still praising him. And why is she? Is she praising him because what happened? No, she's praising him in spite of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was not concerned about my husband when they told me he had to have open heart surgery. I really wasn't, because he belongs to God. He's only
mm-hmm.
been lent to me. And I'm going to praise God no matter what, because I'm determined to trust him. And because I can trust him with his plan, not my desires.
Mm-hmm.
And mothers of you, I'm telling you, I had such a time up in here with my Heavenly Father based on my sons coming down from Georgia. I'm only 10 years younger than my oldest stepson. But I was praying for that young man because he's so lost. He is so lost. He will never see me as a mother figure. But because I'm married to his father, I have to pray for him and lift his name up just like I lift up the name of the two children that I gave birth to. So I lift up all six of my boys, and I only gave birth to two. Mothers, we have a responsibility to lift up our children's name one by one, name by name. And the troubles that they're in. My son is only 10 years younger than me, but that man is so lost. My heart, and I was praying this week, say, God, he's had some health issues this past year. He's darn near crippled, but he is still out there asking the doggone food, asking the food right here while his father's having surgery. When I say asking the food, doing what he do, not giving any reverence to God to even try to think about changing his life. So mothers, we got a job to do. We're not fighting titles or labels that psychologists is putting on people. We're fighting a demon. We're fighting a spiritual war, and he's trying to take our loved ones out. I have to even be careful and pay attention to my husband now, because it's been said in a class that I took this week, a 2-hour class, depression at some point will set in, because of what his body has been through.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach our loved ones to pray for themselves. God told me when my son was going through cancer, oh, he said, yeah, you can pray with him. And you can believe with him, but you cannot believe for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to teach our children and our loved ones to pray and seek God for themselves and their own issues. Because everybody has their own issues that they got to go to God for. Oh, we can believe with them, but we darn sure can't believe for them. And are we going to still praise him when he don't give us what we asked him for?
Mm-hmm. Are we going to do that? And still say, you know what, God? He's my child. He's my son. He's my child, but he's your son.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to do with whatever you want to do with your son and your child.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's been set. It's in writing. But God does change, oftentimes change his mind. And there's some instances in the Bible. He told Hezekiah
mm-hmm.
he was going, he sent the angel to tell Hezekiah that he was going to die, or the man, not the angel, a man. And then he changed his mind and gave him 15 more years. God can change his mind. Will he change his mind? You can only hope. That's what faith is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never go to him and ask him, you'll never know, will you? I don't pray
mm-hmm.
for God to save my I mention it every now and then, but it's not my biggest concern. My biggest concern is we got to go on in this life even without our loved ones. Are we going to have what it takes to stand and continue to trust God? Because we like to get mad with God when God allows things to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's only two
options. Gotta blame somebody.
In the world. It's two things in the world, good and evil. And if things
mm-hmm.
happening, it's not of God. The evil things that comes upon us is not of God, but he allows it. Because remember, Satan had to get God's permission to mess with Job. It's the old, I learned this week, it's the oldest book in the Bible. He
mm-hmm.
had to go to God to even breathe on Satan. I mean, to breathe on Job. He couldn't touch him unless he got that permission. He
mm-hmm.
said, okay, have you considered my servant Job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he said, oh, no, you've been protecting him. If you take everything he had, you've given him everything. If you take everything he had, he will curse you to your face. God said, all right,
mm-hmm.
go at it. But you can't kill him. You can do whatever you want to do, but you can't kill him. See, how about this? We're his, and Satan is his. So he only let him have so much reign. And it's all part of his will. Thy will be done. I said it with my son. I said it with my husband. Thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to continue to live with or without them until my day comes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just trust God in it all because I have nothing else. I have nothing else. So was I all overly concerned about my husband? Absolutely not. Was I all overly concerned? I was tempted. Absolutely. Absolutely. But didn't allow myself to go there because I trust God for whatever his will is.
Amen.
Wouldn't have tore up from the flow up if he had allowed him to perish. But he saw fit to keep him here for whatever, for his reasons, not for Cynthia. I can only pray now that my husband sees the goodness of God and want to serve God. Because if he ain't serving God, why are you here?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
That is so true.
If
that
he don't
so
make
true.
That choice to serve God after all of this, hey, do you, boo. But God will judge you based on what you've done and what you haven't done. And you got to go to God for yourself to determine what it is that he would have you to do. How would he have you to serve him? Because we all have different gifts.
Amen.
My husband's never been a volunteer or anything, so I don't know what God would have him to do in his time that he have left here. But he got to speak that for himself. So mothers, if we're not teaching our children, and I tell my sons all the time when I talk to them, I have a son that lives in Orlando, one of the ones that I gave birth to. I always tell him to pray. My biggest prayer this week was asking God to teach my children to number their days and to teach
mm-hmm.
them to have balance in their lives, putting you at the center. Because nothing else matters.
Amen.
Nothing else matters.
And
we can't
can't
win Satan's attacks if we don't have them for ourselves. We can't rise above those moments of suicidal ideation if we don't have them at the center. Because in Christ, we can do anything. And that means rise above the temptation of picking ourselves out in that moment. Not saying that the people who commit suicide don't have God. They may. They may not. I don't know. But in that moment, when we make those decisions,
I don't know what's going on. I can't even imagine taking my own life. But I've had some moments up in here these last couple of weeks of Spike praising him. I had some moments where I just literally broke because so much is going on. I wasn't overly concerned about my husband. I was overly concerned about what's happening. Because
Amen.
I got to go on no matter, I got to go on if it's not my time, even if God had decided to take him on to heaven. Because my husband is a believer, and I believe he's gone to heaven, so it doesn't be a gain for him. But I would have been here to deal with that.
Yeah.
Now, that's where my break came in, not knowing how I'm going to continue. I know I will continue with him, but it's hard when you've been married with somebody for 30 years. Now you got to go to the mailbox and check the mailbox. This is something simple. But I haven't checked the mailbox for twice, my husband being in and out of the hospital, because that's his job. You know?
Okay. Well, let's just
Funny, but it's funny, but it's true.
Yeah, we do. I mean, and everybody has their role, and you get so comfortable in the role that sometimes the Lord allow things to happen just to show you, okay, now maybe you need to check the mailbox. Think about that. You know,
so we as the women.
We get so comfortable. People, as people, we get comfortable, you know. We really
Absolutely.
Do. Well, we have over our time. We have went over just a little bit.
Well,
it's
anyway,
okay. It's good. That's okay.
Let me just say this last thing to the mothers. Mothers, we are responsible. We are responsible for being that virtuous woman. That virtuous woman is always in prayer. That virtuous woman is always seeking God and seeking instruction so we can guide our loved ones and our children. Yes, he said our house is blessed and our children are blessed. But again, you can believe with them, but you can't believe for them once they become of age. And you've got to put it on them. So that's my take on it, Dr. Fletcher.
All right. And a beautiful take
so
it is.
So you can follow instructions.
That's our course that we're on this month, The Virtuous Woman and Titus 2. So if anybody out there want to read it. We're doing 10 through 31. Look at it, examine it, find out where you are. You know, there's a virtuous woman, there's you, and there's the unvirtuous woman. Where do you fall on that scale? And then look at Titus 2 and see what God say as the elderly woman, what we're supposed to do with the young women. You know, the instructions are there. It's just a decision that you have to make if you want to follow it. Thank you, Cynthia, and I just thank God right now.
You're
because
so welcome.
When the praises went up, the blessings came down. I went to my phone, and I was trying to use the computer, nothing was happening. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I'm sitting out in the clear blue. There's no reason that I couldn't have a connection. And then all of a sudden, when I said, Father God, you know, and started praying in the name of Jesus, it just flipped like that. I'm telling you guys, and the Lord was speaking to my heart. He said, see, you when you call on my name, Satan had to leave. You're trying to stop this thing this morning, but God allowed us to go through with it anyway, and somebody's going to be blessed because of it. If you know anybody out there that's going through, just tell them to listen to this program, and there may be a word in it that might help them. We don't know who's going to listen and how it's going to affect anybody. We're just being obedient to the word of God. And I just want to say to the audience this morning, Cynthia and I started a Bible college, and with the Bible College, we have women that are graduating August 11th from the prison system, and God gave us accreditation this week. We got our accreditation for the school. I just want to say thank you, God,
thank
for
you,
the blessing
God.
Coming
thank
down.
You.
It is absolutely wonderful. Women now can go out and get their degree, and we take whatever credits that you have, we take those credits, and we have you build on those, so that you can continue to get your education and not have to start all over again. I'm just going to put that out there this morning because I want to give God the praises, because we would not have had the accreditation without all the work that we've done and all the struggles that we've gone through. And God said, keep going. And we did it along with Angela, my daughter. She did the media piece. I just want to thank her this morning. You know, it's amazing how God led us through this. And you'll hear more and more about it. But I just wanted to give God praises this morning, and I thank you, Cynthia.
Amen.
Could not be done without
you.
You're the educator. I mean, he put us together. It was a perfect match. It's just a perfect match to get this assignment done. So praises
Amen.
To God and praises in Jesus' name. All right, that's our
Amen.
Show for today. I thank you, Cynthia. Thank everybody for praying. The audience, I thank you for being patient with me this morning and the struggle, but I was determined I was not going to just not do this radio program. All right. God bless you and have a great week. I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend
Dr.
Bessie
done.
Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Thank you very much, Cynthia and I. I'll be back with you next week. And whoever joins us, we'll see you next week here at the Roundtable with Mothers and Daughters Around the World. Bye-bye.